Now, good evening, everybody. It's a real privilege to be here in Innerleithen Gospel Hall for these gospel meetings that you've just heard about. And thank you for coming for this opening night, and we trust that you'll feel free if you're able to come back again any of the nights that are mentioned. It's a real joy to be here, and we trust that God will bless us as we're together to read His Word and to preach the Gospel. Just a very brief outline of how the meetings are going to proceed in the will of God. I will read from the Bible each night, and all the messages will come from the Bible. We base our faith on the written Word of God that we have in our hands, and each night we'll be taking our readings from the Bible and allowing God to speak through His Word. So that's the first thing I want to say. And secondly, don't worry about a long-winded speaker. I promise that the meetings will be over by 8:30. And don't worry, I've got a wife at home, and scarier than that, a mother at home who would be very, very keen to hear from any of you if I break the promise and keep you late. So the meetings will go, Simon has already said, Sunday through to Thursday, 7:45 till 8:30. And we trust you'll feel free to come again. And we really pray and have been praying that God will come in and bless you with His salvation. If you're not saved this evening, if you're not right with God, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, well, this is the best place to be, to hear about Him and to learn about God's salvation and how you can possess it, how can you can know your sins forgiven. Now, I've pressed the button to on, so I hope I've done the right thing, and I hope you can hear me all right. I certainly don't want to shout, but I do want everybody to hear what I'm saying. We're turning for a reading tonight to the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 2. This is a very important part of the meeting, the reading of God's Word, because it's the Holy Scriptures, God's Word, that can make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So I would ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen. Sometimes when I'm in an audience, I just like to listen to the reading of the Scriptures. So God's Word, and it's the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. And the writer to the Hebrews says here in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the idea is allowing God's Word just to slip away, to allow the opportunity of listening to God's Word to pass us by. And it's just the idea of letting it slip away and not carefully listening to what God is saying. So the warning is given here for us to give careful attention, to pay earnest heed to these things that we're going to read and we're going to listen to. Verse 3 of this chapter is really what I want to speak about tonight. Verse 3 of chapter 2 of the Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to repeat these 10 words from verse 3, which is going to be our text, our gospel text this evening. The writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What a question. We think of this question and we know the answer, that there is no escape. There is no way out. There is no avoiding God's judgment if we neglect His salvation. And we do look to the Lord to add His blessing to His Word that we have read this evening. I don't know how long you've been coming to meetings like this. I don't know if you perhaps are coming to this gospel meeting for the very first time. But I do trust that you will not let this opportunity, this tremendous opportunity of not only listening to God's Word and listening about God's salvation, but I trust you'll not let the opportunity go by for you as an individual
to actually trust the Lord Jesus, to actually possess God's salvation, to actually receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What I'm saying is this, whether it's your first time or your umpteenth time at the Inner Leaven Gospel Hall, I want to tell you, you can be saved tonight. You can be right with God. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and you don't have to pay for it, and you don't have to wait for some process to kick in before you experience it. You can start for heaven tonight. But there is the danger that you could come to meetings from now until the last day of your life and just allow the opportunity to slip past. That's why we read verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. The writer says it is most important, it is vitally important that we pay heed, that we give careful consideration to the things that really matter. And there's no bigger issue than the salvation of your soul. There is no bigger issue in the world for your life tonight as an individual than getting right with God. So what I'm about to say tonight for the next half hour or so, please listen carefully. Not because I'm speaking, not because there's anything about me at all. I'm just a messenger. I'm glad to be here. But I'm just a messenger for God tonight. But as a believer, as a Christian, as a servant of God, I come with you with the word of God this evening. Come to you with great solemnity and tell you that your whole future, heaven or hell, your well-being just now, your spiritual well-being, peace with God, the life of God, Christ is your Savior, an understanding of God's will for your life, it is all wrapped up with what you do with God's great salvation. That's what I want to speak about this evening. So thank you for coming. Please listen attentively. Don't allow the opportunity to go by. I warn you gently tonight that by coming to gospel meetings alone will not save you. By being a member of a religious place will not save you. Being baptized will not save you. But being a believer in the Lord Jesus, receiving this great salvation that we've read about tonight, faith in Christ makes you saved, secure, safe, a child of God. And we'll think about that as we proceed this evening. I want to speak about God's so great salvation. These words were in verse 3 when the warning is given that we have not to neglect the prospect, the thought of not getting God's salvation, not getting right with God in our lifetime, the thought of living through life and journeying through this world without the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's unthinkable. And the warning comes to us from Hebrews chapter 2. How will you escape? How will you manage to live? How will you manage to die without this great salvation? And I want to speak about this great salvation tonight. It is a great salvation. I want you to give careful attention to it this evening. I want you to pay earnest heed to this matter, because your present happiness and your future safety eternally depends on how you're going to react and how you're going to respond to this great salvation. There is no greater matter. There is no bigger issue. God has a great salvation for sinners. Salvation simply means to be rescued from danger. Salvation means, as we read it in the Bible, being saved, having God's salvation. It means to be delivered spiritually from the consequences of our sin against God. The Bible makes it clear that we're all sinners. There's no difference. We've all missed the standard of God. We've all come short of His perfect standard because He's holy, He's righteous, He's just. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot sweep sin under the carpet and overlook it. He knows our hearts. He made us perfectly. And yet we went astray. When I say we, I'm talking about the human race. Way back at the beginning, if you start to read your Bible, and it's a good place to read it, to start at the book of Genesis, right at the beginning, you'll not go very few chapters. In fact, you'll come to chapter 3 and you'll read about a man called Adam and his wife Eve. And sadly, God said to Adam and Eve, I'm only going to give you one prohibit. I'm only going to give you one rule, one prohibition out of everything that you see in this garden. There's one tree you have not to touch, you have not to eat of the fruit. Well, you know the story as well as I do. That's where sin came in. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. God said one thing, they did the opposite, and distance came in between Adam and Eve and their Creator. And what they did was they sinned against God. They disobeyed God. Sin is not only failing to come up to God's standard, but is actively, deliberately choosing to disobey God. You see, we are sinners by birth. We are sinners by practice. We're also sinners by choice. And the Bible says, if you continue like that, you'll be separated from God forever. And the wages of sin is death. You ever thought about where you'll be after you die? You ever thought about when you take that final flight from time into eternity, where you'll be 5 seconds after you die? Well, if you neglect this great salvation, if you reject God's great salvation that He's provided through His Son Jesus Christ, that we're going to speak about in a minute, but if we refuse and reject God's so great salvation, can I tell you, you'll not be in heaven without with God, but you'll be without Him and without Christ and without hope, suffering the punishment of God eternally for your own personal sin. That's what you need to be saved from. You need to be rescued from the danger of hell and the judgment of God at the great white throne and then the lake of fire. Now, if you come back to these meetings, we will explain. So there's maybe a lot of information overload. But I do want to be faithful and tell you that there is a great Saviour and there is a great rescue package that God has provided through His Son. But if you miss it, you miss everything. If you miss it, you miss out on the whole purpose of life. If you miss God's great salvation, you miss heaven. You miss a relationship with God. Salvation is not religion. Religion is man's attempt to get right with God. Salvation is a real relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And can I ask you tonight to challenge your heart this evening? Do you have this great salvation? Are you saved? Have you ever received what God has provided, like you would receive a gift? And trust that what God has provided is real and necessary and eternal and lasting. So God says, this is a great salvation. You know, sometimes we're all a bit, well, I can only speak for myself, but sometimes we're prone to exaggeration. And sometimes we make empty promises. And we use language hyperbole and we embellish the truth sometimes. Maybe not wittingly, maybe not deliberately. But we do exaggerate a wee bit, especially when our kids are, you know, or the subject. We do exaggerate. You might ask yourself, what is so great about this salvation? Fair question. Can I dispel any thought of exaggeration? Can I dispel any thought of God making a promise that He cannot keep? I want to tell you in this gospel meeting and at the start of these special services over the next 2 weeks that we are dealing with a God who cannot lie. That we're dealing with absolute truth in a world that is crying out for truth, in a world that is crying out for reality, in a world that is crying out for transparency in every sector of society. We come to the Word of God and we're glad that God cannot lie. We're so refreshed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is the very personification of truth. So I can assure you this evening, this is no exaggeration when we read that God has a great salvation. And I want to talk to you tonight about what is so great about this salvation. Number one, this salvation that you need, that sinners need, that mankind needs, that we all needed, and thank God many of us can look back to the day when we received God's salvation, when we received God's Son as our own Saviour. We're so thankful. That's why I'm here tonight. Not to talk about myself, but to present Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, to you, because it's what He's done for me can do for you. And it's a great salvation because of where it comes from. This salvation, this gospel, good news, message, it's not something that the gospel hall here in Inner Leaven, the people that attend, have dreamed up. Karl Marx called Christianity the opium of the people. That was his opinion. But my faith is centred in the God of heaven who made me and made you and holds our breath in his hand. And his word says that he has provided a salvation, a great salvation, a so great salvation for sinners. It's a great salvation because it's sourced in God. This has not come from man. This is not something that started a few centuries ago and there's a human figurehead. This is not religion. This is not a sect. This is not some kind of man-made, feel-good, pie-in-the-sky sort of stuff when you die. This is God's way of salvation. And there's nothing like it. It is good to be saved. I'm so glad that my sins are gone and my guilty past has been removed and I've got a real right relationship with God because my faith, my belief, my trust is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to save sinners like me. And this salvation is sourced in God. It comes from the very heart of God. And you know the amazing thing about this great salvation? It wasn't dreamed up when things started to go wrong in the Garden of Eden. Remember a few minutes ago I spoke about Adam and Eve and how they sinned against God, how they were separated from God, how they were at a distance in the dark. They were sinners. They'd chosen to sin and disobey God, and they would die physically someday, but they were dead spiritually because of their sin. It wasn't at that moment that God, in a panic and in a hurry, provided some kind of salvation, last minute. No. As far as our tiny minds can go back into eternity, God had one Son. And that Son would be sent at the right time, 2,000 years ago, into this world to be the Saviour that this world needed, who would go to a cross and who would die for sin, although he had no sin. He was sinless and spotless and pure and perfect. He was the Son of God, equal with God. And yet he came down from heaven, became a real man, died on the cross at Calvary to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. No, this salvation is sourced in God. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You read in the book of Romans, a great book of the Bible that teaches us about the gospel, and it starts like this: the gospel of God. This salvation, this good news of God's remedy for mankind's ruin and sin and need, it was sourced in God. It's of God. It's provided by God. But it includes us. God
commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Devised by God out of a heart of love. Some people think that God is distant and uncaring and unloving. Can I assure you tonight, God loves you. God's interested in you. And he so loved you that he gave his son. He did not spare his son. My father had never ever been in a meeting like this until he was 23 years of age. In the city of Toronto, he'd been brought up to go to a place of religion. He never heard about the cross. He never heard about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, for sinners. He never heard about the Lord Jesus rising again from the dead. He never heard about heaven or hell. He never heard about the forgiveness of sins. It was just come to church and everything will be all right. Well, he got disaffected with that when he was about 17. He got fed up with that, stopped going. But through the reading of a magazine one day, he got interested in a sports hero of his who'd become a Christian. And the next month he went along to hear this message that this sportsman had got saved by. He went along. He'd never been at a meeting like this before. He was very nearly put off from going into the building because he was a wee bit late and there was only seats at the front. But someone caught him, brought him into the meeting, sat him down at the front. They were singing a hymn. They were halfway through the hymn. He'd never heard singing like it. He'd heard a lot of dry dirges before, but he'd never heard people singing with life and vibrancy. The hymn they were singing was this. He listened to it. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. Do you know that my father, for the first time, thought about the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on Calvary for sinners like him. And before the meeting was over, he had cried to God for salvation. He'd called upon the name of the Lord, just silently. He never opened his mouth, but the matter was dealt with there and then in that meeting. I'm so glad he did. See, I don't remember my dad at all. I was only 3 when he died. And he went home to heaven just about 10 years after he trusted the Lord Jesus. First time he heard the gospel. Remember that roundabout illustration? He got off the roundabout, the first roundabout. As soon as he realised he was in the wrong road, he got off, stopped in his tracks from going down to hell. And he heard about a Saviour, he heard about a great salvation, and he trusted the Lord Jesus. Wonder if you have tonight. See, I know I'm going to meet my dad again. I know I'm going to be with Christ and with every Christian who loves Christ and has died in the Lord. What about you? It's hard enough to live without the Lord Jesus. It's a miserable existence without this great salvation. But what about dying without him? Because we're not here forever. And it's a great salvation because it comes from God. It's perfect. There's no grubby hand of man on it. It's from God. And the great thing about it too, it's for everyone. It's sourced in God, but the scope incorporates everyone and excludes no one. It's a great salvation because whosoever, you, me, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus shall have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, it's great because of the subject of this salvation. Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about rituals. It's not about... My grandfather used to speak about where you hang your hat on a Sunday. I hadn't a clue what he was talking about. But it's not about going to church. It's about a living, vital relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For 16 of my, well, I might as well start the mean debate to go on and confess on the first night. For 16 of my 44 years, I tried to live as if there was no God. I knew there was a God. I knew all about the Lord Jesus because everybody in my family were Christians. And I knew, I'd heard about the gospel, but I tried to live in denial to my need of Jesus Christ to be my Saviour. Was I happy? Certainly not. There would not be a day go by in my teenage years that I did not think of how I needed to be saved and how I was just turning away from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was standing on a daily basis. I could hear the words of the Bible from the lips of the Lord Jesus saying, listen, Blair, come to me and I'll give you rest and I'll save you. Don't run away from him. Maybe that's what you're doing tonight. You know you need this great salvation. You know it's true. You know you've got God to meet. And you're murdering your conscience on a daily, hourly basis, trying to live without God. Oh, but if you die without him, and if you miss Christ, you'll miss everything. And the gospel, God's great salvation, its centre and its circumference, its first and last points are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about a wonderful person. It's all about you agreeing with God that you need the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Agreeing with God that he's telling the truth, that you're a sinner. He's right, you're wrong. You've come short of his standard. But on the cross, Christ the sinless one died for your sins. And he's provided salvation if you only take him at his word and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great salvation because of its subject. Do you know what this salvation does for you as well? When you receive Jesus Christ, it removes your guilty past. It's a great thing. Every sin that you've committed, every evil thought, every cruel deed, every unkind word, every sin from your guilty past, removed. Some people have a selective memory, I think we all do if we're honest. And some people as well try to rewrite history. But God has a record. And God requires that which is past. And you know, there's books in heaven. In Revelation, the last book of your Bible, there's books in heaven, and at the great white throne, if you die in your sins, and I pray that you never will, I pray that you'll get saved before that, but if you do die in your sins, you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, who could have been your Saviour, but now he's your judge, and the books of your life are opened. And the dead are judged out of those things that are written in the books according to their works. There's no escape. There's no hiding. There's no rewriting history. There's no argument with God. It's a just, righteous verdict. And it's out into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. You need to be saved from that. You need to be rescued. Thank God you can be. You say, how is it possible, Blair? How is it possible that I can have my guilty past removed? You know, God speaks about putting the believer's sins behind his back. He speaks about removing them as far as the east is from the west. How is it possible? Because of Calvary. And the blood that Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed at Calvary can cleanse you from every sin. It's a wonderful thing. By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ,
You're saved, and that means your guilty past is removed. You know, it's also a great salvation because, make no mistake about it, the moment you decide to trust the Lord Jesus is the greatest decision you've ever made. It will presently change your life, because if anyone's in Christ, if anyone trusts the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely, truthfully, they become a new creature. And presently, your life has changed, your destiny has altered, your life has changed. But listen as well, this great salvation reveals a glorious future. A glorious future. You know, as you think about it, none of us know how long we're here for. But all of us know, if we're honest, there is eternity to face. There's God to meet. And the writer says, how will you escape if you neglect God's salvation? Imagine living life and coming to gospel meetings and listening to the word of God and hearing about great salvation and hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can have your sins forgiven. Because when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you do it, you say, but I don't know very much and I haven't heard this message very often. But the moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come into the family of God and your sins are forgiven. And you've got peace with God, and you've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the greatest friend, the greatest saviour you could ever have, and you've got a glorious home prepared in heaven for you. You see, it sounds too good to be true. God cannot lie. He said it, and I believe it. And that settles it for me. I hope it'll settle it for you tonight. Don't make the wrong, wretched choice. Don't please put off this great salvation, because you need it. He's a great saviour. A great saviour. He never sinned. You know, when you think about it, if you're honest, a very short time goes by in all of our lives on a daily basis before we're aware that we've sinned against God. Whether it's thoughts, words, actions. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ never had a moment when he thought, spoke, did any sin. And yet on the cross, Bible puts it this way, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that they might bring us to God. We had done all the sinning. He did all the suffering. It's a great salvation because sin has been dealt with to God's entire satisfaction. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because of who he is God's Son, and because of who he is the sinless Saviour of the world, he has brought joy and satisfaction to God, and God has been able to come out in a righteous basis and offer this great salvation to a guilty fallen world. And this is the criteria. Believe in my Son or not believe in him. Receive him or reject him. Because you'll either be saved with a great salvation or lost without Christ forever and ever and ever. That's why we have to pay earnest heed. That's why we have to give careful attention. Because there's literally hell to pay for your sin. But I'm so glad on the cross Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. At the cross he washed it white as snow. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This salvation can be yours tonight if you simply receive what God says as truth. agree with God, come into God's presence personally as an individual and say, I've sinned. I'm a guilty sinner. I agree. I acknowledge that. I need a great Saviour. Jesus Christ is the Saviour that I need. I'm going to trust Him now. I'm going to rest upon His work on the cross. I'm going to depend on his great sacrifice. Because if it satisfied God, it'll satisfy me. Lord, save me now. That's great salvation. I trust you'll receive it as you would receive a gift, because it comes from God. Don't refuse Him. Don't reject Him. Don't rebuff Him tonight. But come to Him, and He'll save you. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus to Thee at the close of our meeting. We thank Thee for attention that has been given. We thank Thee for every person that has listened reverently to Thy Word. We pray, Father, that Thy Word might have a resting place that will be good to some soul and real to some soul tonight, and that through the listening to Thy Word they'll receive the Lord Jesus, the Saviour that Thy Word preaches and points us to. So bless us in these meetings. We thank Thee for this opening night, and we long for Thy help as we think of the meetings that continue in Thy will this week. We think of boys and girls from the community and adults too. We pray this might be a time of rich blessing and reaping where much sowing has been done. We ask Thy blessing as we part now in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we sing a hymn in closing to 399 to close the meeting. 399, the first three verses only of this hymn, remaining seated. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee, trusting Thee for full salvation, great and free. I am trusting Thee for cleansing. Be wonderful if someone could say that from their heart truthfully to God this evening and come into the joy of this great salvation. 399, the first three verses, then the meeting is over. I'll be at the back of the hall to wish you good night. I'll not embarrass anybody or ask anybody any questions or buttonhole anybody, but I do want you to know that I'm approachable, and I trust you'll be able to feel free to ask any questions. I'm in no hurry to go home. I'd be happy to give you some free leaflets, gospel booklets, a Bible, have a conversation. I just want to be a help to you, because this is a big matter that cannot be avoided. If you do it, it's to your peril. 399, first three verses. Thank you.